You know, what that long ago that Bitcoin was just sort of given up for dead. And the man who did the obituary was Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, who says, I'm not interested in it that much at all. And I think it's a fraud. And then he kind of backed off a little bit. And suddenly Bitcoin came back to life. It got new life when the president of China said he wants to speed up development of the Bitcoin blockchain technology. Stefan Rust is the CEO of Bitcoin.com, one of the largest cryptocurrency blockchain technology companies in the world. They've got over 5 million wallet holders, and he joins us right now from Hong Kong. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Nice to be here and glad to be on your show.
Well, and I'm glad you're still alive because, like I say, Bitcoin was supposed to have gone sort of supernova on us.
Well, we've gone through definitely a couple of waves, I call it. We've gone through a lot of ups and downs. This is sort of, we're still in a bit of a down from our all-time high, but we're still in there. We're hanging in there. We're coming out of this. I think, you know, China is definitely very bullish on blockchain and Bitcoin, and they've actually developed their own cryptocurrency, which they announced, I think, briefly there. The central bank president or vice president sort of made an announcement that they're going to be launching their own cryptocurrency.
What? But why? Tell me why I want to own something that is so volatile. I mean, I look back. If I'd bought this thing in March at $3,400, I'd be happy now that it's over $9,000. But there's nothing to say it doesn't go back to $3,000. I mean, that's not an investment. I thought this was supposed to be a steady level exchange.
No, I mean, it's definitely not an investment. The volumes aren't there. I mean, look, let's be realistic. Worldwide, there may be 60 to 100 million in the global population, and 100 million is on the way high side of people that own and are involved with cryptocurrencies. And so from that perspective, it's still really early days. We have a lot of traders in this market as well, people that buy and sell, and they love volatility, of course.
Yeah, and that seems to, therein seems to lie the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this story. There's an interesting story that came out last week. Bitmain, which is the world's largest maker of Bitcoin mining company computers, is taking over an old Alcoa aluminum smelting plant in Rockdale, Texas, of all places, for this brand new Bitcoin mine, and they're talking big numbers, maybe 300 megawatts.
Yep.
That should give some liquidity.
Yeah, that's, I mean, not only liquidity. I mean, I think if you look at Bitcoin has a total circulation of 21 million, which has been written into their smart contract, if you will. And that means that there are now about 17 million in circulation today, which gives us about 3 million or 4 million left to produce. And based on the code base and the algorithm and the difficulty for mining new Bitcoins, it is going to get more difficult and difficult. And the more hash power you need in order to win that mining reward. And in order to do so, you know, those 4 million that I mentioned earlier, they're going to be issued and minted over the course of the next 100 years, roughly,
right,
based on the difficulty rate. So Bitmain obviously sees that and knows that they need to have significant power, which is also a sign of their betting that the currency will go up significantly.
Let me go back to your company, Bitcoin.com. Again, largest cryptocurrency blockchain technology companies in the world, or one of them anyway. You've got 5 million wallet holders, and I can get an iPhone app, and I guess hold Bitcoins. Who are those 5 million people? What are they doing with that?
So basically, we have what we call a non-custodial wallet, so self-custodial. The users control their private keys in their wallet, and basically that gives them access to their funds, which are on the blockchain, and they can then share that money with whoever they want. We're focused very much on what we call payment services, so merchant services, where you can then go into retail outlets, merchants, and shops and pay with Bitcoin Cash. You can then also build out what we call non-custodial financial services, where we, all of the funds, again, stay on the blockchain and are managed by all these different computers with all these hash powers spread out around the world.
But I don't mean to be dense, Mr. Russ, but why do I need it? I mean, why do those people need it? There are euros, there are dollars, there are wands, there are all sorts of currencies out there. Are they people trying to, you know, avoid the law, or who are they?
So there are a different set of people. There are people that are looking, that believe that they want to control their own destiny, and the forecasting of inflation in a algorithm is more predictable for them to manage their funds and their assets than relying on a central bank that decides to. Since September, the U.S. central bank has printed $200 billion in new money. The European bank just announced, you know, another $20 billion of a quantitative easing. You know, they are just losing faith in the existing euro, U.S. dollar, renminbi currencies that are out there. Number one. Number two, there is a whole category of users that are what we call underbanked or unbanked, who don't have an ID card, who don't have a passport, who aren't a part of the credit rating systems, and therefore can't even get a bank.
Right, and that's who I always thought was sort of the target, the logical target market, the underbanked, or somebody who's, you know, a foreign national working in another country, they want to send, you know, money back home.
Yep. That's another big segment of the markets. But we're seeing an emergent where even people that can't afford an Apple stock but want to own an Apple stock, how could I fractionalize that? How could I then provide tokens that give you access to a portfolio of Apple shares so you can buy, you know, 10 cents of an Apple share, you know, of an Apple dollar or whatever it might be. But so that all of a sudden that these underbanks can start participating in owning, financial assets and that they couldn't own before.
Okay, I'm saying, so what is, why does the president of China want this? I would think they would want their own central bank. Why, you know, abrogate their banking to Bitcoin?
So China, number one, has been very innovative in the crypto or cryptocurrencies and in the blockchain mining space. Today, about 60% of the global hash power is in China. A lot of the innovators in terms of manufacturers of mining rigs are coming out of China. The semiconductors still come from other parts of the world, but basically China sees this as a new opportunity, as the new internet, as a way to disrupt the financial strengths of the U.S. dollar, largely. I think those are all elements that play into the equation. Number one is I can be a technology leader in an area that is emerging. And number two, I can have a currency that could possibly alleviate my requirement or dependency on the U.S. dollar.
So 5 or 10 years from now, is watching Bitcoin ever going to be like watching the dollar or the euro? I mean, there are little fluctuations, but otherwise it's really kind of boring. Is Bitcoin ever going to be boring?
I think it will be a standard financial instrument. I mean, the question is when and what that timing is. If you look at Bitcoin today or all cryptocurrencies in aggregate, the market cap of all cryptocurrencies, of which there are maybe about 1,500 to 2,000, depending what the number is, but you're looking at 300 billion tops, maybe $270 billion market cap, which is minuscule in contrast to the existing financial services industry, from payments to lending to credits to borrowing to real estate, et cetera, right? So all of that to derivatives, it's all a minuscule part of the overall financial services industry. But once it gets to that point, yeah, I guess it will become boring for many, but it will also remain extremely exciting for many.
All right, so I can't leave without taking advantage of you. You're in Hong Kong right now. What is it like? I mean, do you fear for your life? Do you go out on the streets and go to restaurants? It doesn't seem to be a very safe place to be right now.
So the funny thing is, this week in Hong Kong, we have the FinTech week in Hong Kong. So a lot of financial technology companies are actually in Hong Kong this week. And yeah, in fact, there's a big conference. We were just at a WeWork session earlier today, and I had a drink and lunch out today. I mean, it's generally very isolated, a lot of these protests that are in very unique areas, and then it's very mainly focused on the weekend, because during the week we all go back to work.
Right, yeah, it's kind of like what's going on in Paris and everybody else. Stefan Rust is the CEO of Bitcoin.com and joins us from Hong Kong today. A fascinating discussion. We need to continue this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thanks for more of our conversation with Stefan Rust, CEO of Bitcoin. Go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.